Welcome once again to Devotional. This is lesson number 2 for Sunday, November 18th. Like I said yesterday in our intro to this week's lesson, this week we're going to be talking about different topics, different truths, beliefs that we have as a church. And I'm glad that we're beginning where we should always begin, salvation in Jesus. And I want to invest this little podcast. I mean, there's a lot, like I always tell you, there's a lot. Please study it on your own. I want to focus on just one word that shows up in the second part of the lesson where we are supposed to read verses. And I like today because after we are given these verses to read, there's no cheating. You will actually have to read these verses and not just say, oh, I'm going to read the paragraph below and try to kind of guess what that verse says. Please resist those temptations. Don't develop those bad habits. And if you have those bad habits, I'm praying for repentance for you, that you will go back to reading the Bible, because that's the whole point of the lesson. Not to study the lesson, to study the Bible. Romans 3, 24 and 25, 1 John 2, 2, 1 John 4, 9 and 10, and then 1 Peter 2, 21 and 20, through 24, they all hinge around what Jesus has done for us. How is it that he has saved us? And the first verse, Romans 3, 24 to 25, I'm going to focus on just one word. It's found in those first three, in Romans, 1 John 2 and 1 John 4. And that word is propitiation. You know, try to do that one for a spelling bee. Propitiation. What in the world is that? Because we read it and we kind of feel that we kind of guess and it's foggy. So I want to spend some time looking at it for this podcast. First of all, propitiation probably means not much at all to us because we don't use that word in our everyday vocabulary. And the reason is because it's pretty much a religious, it's a sanctuary-focused word. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it actually was used to denote the cover of the Ark of the Covenant. It was simply just trying to take the Hebrew word, keporet, and translate it to the Greek word, what the Greek equivalent would be for covering, the cover for the seat, where it would seal that box so that within it would be the law, the rod of Aaron, and the manna. And on that, it would be where the blood got sprinkled. And it was also called the mercy seat. And so this helps us now begin to associate it with something more tangible. And in Hebrew, this whole imagery of the cover where the high priest would come and pour blood, sprinkle blood on the Day of Atonement, it gave the imagery of reconciliation by blood. And blood, of course, was the sacrifice of a life. That's when in Leviticus, God told Moses to put that, you know, don't eat things strangled because the life is in the blood. That association of life and blood became united there, that symbol. And here we have blood, a sacrifice of a life has been provided to bring reconciliation between sinners and God. So one of the words in the book of Romans, in the Greek, hilasterion, that's what it means. And we translate it as propitiation, which, like I said, means just as much in English as it does in the Greek. But now I hope by connecting it with the sanctuary and the most holy place with the Ark of the Covenant, once a year, God would remove everything that separated him from his people. And the only means that separation could be removed and reconciliation be experienced was by the life, the sacrifice of a life, and that was symbolized by the sprinkling of blood. In 1 John 2 and 1 John 9, we also read that word propitiation, but it's a slightly different Greek word. Some technicality, but it does convey a bit different or a different emphasis in the translation. And it actually means simply a substitute. Jesus is our substitute, which fits right in with the other one, right? Because what is being sacrificed is someone else's life. Someone else is giving their life in my place. So all of this, I mean, is a rich word. Unfortunately, we haven't invested much time studying what it means, but I'm hoping this will help you as you study Sunday's lesson to get a fuller, richer grasp of what it means that salvation, we experience that in Jesus. And of course, 1 Peter, though, in those verses you don't read the word propitiation, you have some of the most beautiful, tangible, you know, it's not abstract. When Peter says that he bore our sins on the tree and that by his stripes we are healed. Through his life sacrifice, we obtain reconciliation. We are once again brought back to a relationship of children with God, restoring what was once lost. I hope this will help put some meat around the study of your word, the lesson this week for you. Open the Bible, meditate on these verses. It's real. You can have communion once again with God because the separation that your sins, my sins, brought between us and God, Jesus has removed that, and through his propitiation, through his life sacrifice, you and I today can experience a reconciled relationship with our God, and you and I can call him Father.